Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Man, praise the Lord. I'm so excited. I guess that's the word I'm going to use. To be here with you this morning, it's a great privilege and just an honor to be in this house. I think this is just my second time being in Fort Payne. Last time I was here for a concert. I can't remember who was at the concert, the Well, and I think Alabama, somebody might have been there. I'm not sure. I didn't know any of the songs, but it was all good. We had a great time. But I am so, so thankful. Once again, my dear wife, Pastor Holly, is with me. And we also have one of our ministers, Evangelist Terry Little, with us. She's not only one of our ministers there at the Life, she's also my son's mother-in-law. So we have a great connection, and we're just excited to be here with you. In the absence of your pastors, Pastor Spencer and Madison, what great pastors you guys have. Amen. Amen. We celebrate them and we're thankful for them and the privilege that they're having over at the Well this morning to celebrate. I think it's 9 years and to have Pastor Rusty there. I know Pastor Greg and the Well family there is just blessed. Pastor Rusty and Pastor Greg and I go back some years. Actually, Pastor Greg was the first gentleman that I met when I came to Huntsville, Alabama. Back in 1997, I came to Huntsville, Alabama. God had put a call on our lives. We had an option from the church that we were sent from out of Richmond, Virginia. It was either Tampa, Florida, and Huntsville, Alabama. And my wife convinced me Huntsville. Amen. But we got here, and the first day we got here, some people that we had met previously that were here, actually here from our ministry that we sent ahead of us, they said, there's a couple of guys that want to meet you. And they said they want to meet you before anybody else in Huntsville meets you. And so it actually happened to be Pastor Greg DeVries and Steve Sharp. He's over at The Rock now. And so that's when I met Pastor Greg, and it was an amazing meeting just a supernatural connection from the very first time we met. My pastor, which at the time Pastor Victor Torres out of Richmond, Virginia, he had been in Florida maybe 3 or 4 months earlier, and he was there on vacation, and he was in a shoe store shopping, and he ran into a gentleman, and he was sharing with the gentleman about his ministry because he founded a pretty big ministry there in the Richmond, Virginia area, and he had a program called New Life for Youth, and it was a program where men would go and men and women would go and recover from addictions. And so he was sharing about his program, and this gentleman began to share about his son that had a like testimony. And what was so amazing, that day we were sitting at the table having breakfast. My pastor actually was with us. He came from Virginia also here to Huntsville that day, and we're sitting at this table, and Pastor Greg is sharing his testimony, and at the time, my pastor kept looking a little funny. We were at Mullins in Huntsville, and he kept looking a little funny, and so I kind of tapped him. I said, "You okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm okay, I'm okay," and conversation went on a little longer, and lo and behold, my pastor at that time, 3 months earlier, had met Pastor Greg's father in the shoe store in Florida. And so from that day on, we knew that we had a special connection and that God had special things for us to do. So even being here with you this morning, I know that God has something special in his heart for us, if none other than just to be in each other's presence. And so I come from that place this morning of honoring the work that God is doing here in the Well of Fort Payne. And I just love, I walk in and I see this building and I'm just overwhelmed with the just the design and just how God has used you guys to create a space where people's lives can be transformed, where people can find hope and love, where people can find this God that we've been talking about for so many years. So I celebrate you and all that you're doing and all that God is doing in your midst. And once again, I'm excited to be here with you. I think I have a few things I want to share with you this morning. I won't be here long, and yeah, all preachers say that. But I'm going to try to stick with it. I want to talk to you on a pretty basic subject this morning, but I think it's really in line with the heart of God for this church. And just in some of the conversations with Brother Shane this morning and Brother Jeff and a few others, I know that I'm in a place that God is working in the hearts of individuals and a collective church to really make a difference in this community, without a shadow of a doubt. And I want to speak to your fears this morning right now and tell your fears to flee, because the love of God is greater and this church has purpose and this church will make a difference. I want to speak to your doubts this morning. Don't allow your eyes or don't allow what you see to deceive you. When God called you to this and he told you what was going to happen, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you worry. God's got this thing. But I want to talk to you this morning about the power of God's presence, because that's what makes the difference. It's God's presence. And I want to speak with you from a text in John, Gospel of John, chapter 21. And it's pretty reedy here. I'll go all the way down to verse 12, but I'll just read a little bit of it, and then we'll kind of get into what God wants to say to us this morning. That's John chapter 21, verse 1. I think I'll read to maybe verse 2 or 3, somewhere around there. But and just talking about the presence of God, the presence of God. After these things, Jesus manifested himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way: Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. This morning I want to talk to you about the importance and the power of the presence of God. This text will help us to come into alignment and bring our hearts and bring our minds into alignment with how important and what a must it is that you and I, as individuals, and you as a church, collectively find the presence of the Lord in your midst. It's so important. It's so important. And this text really lends itself to helping us to understand that. It's important for you as an individual, but it's also important for you as a church to know that it's the presence of God that makes the difference. In all that you do, and all that God is calling this church to do, and I know that this church is called to make a difference. At the Well, and we're not just a member of EMIF, we're also, Pastor Holly and I, we're members of the Well Scottsboro, and we know, and we connect with everything that's done there, and we know that Pastor Greg releases a word that says we're called to build a community in a community to change a community. Well, I'm here to let you know this morning that's the purpose of this house, but that purpose never comes to pass without the presence of God. We must have the presence of God. We must have the presence of God to make a difference in any form or any fashion. If we are going to bring about what the change that God has planned for this community, we must have the presence of God. Without the presence of God, we have no victory in our personal lives. I'm going to talk to you on a community basis in a moment, but even in our personal lives, and you know, we would think that we would know this, But most of the times when we're looking and when we're trying to fulfill the scriptures and live out the life that God has called us to in the scriptures, a lot of us don't realize or we don't make that connection that nothing changes in me without the presence of God. And if that personal change in our lives is going to come about, if we're going to have victory in our own personal lives, then we must have the presence of the Lord. His presence brings the victory that transforms our lives. There is no transformation without the presence of God. We can come up with all kinds of gimmicks. We can come up with all kinds of self-help stuff. And, you know, the church has embraced some of this stuff. That don't work. The only thing that transforms a life is the very thing that transformed lives 2,000 years ago, and that's the presence of Jesus Christ. If you're going to get it right in God, if you're going to change your life in Christ, then it's going to happen through the presence of the Lord. The promise of 2 Corinthians 5:17 is this, that old things will pass away and behold, all things become new. We become a new creation. There is no new creation without the presence of Jesus. To have personal victory, we must have the presence of the Lord. John 10:10 promises an abundant life, where we're fooling ourselves if we think we're going to have an abundant life without the presence of the Lord. And folks, I keep it real, and I'm going to be transparent this morning. There are a lot of places that call themselves churches. There are a lot of believers that call themselves Christians that don't have the presence of the Lord. And that's why there's no transformation. And that's why we're seeing the things that we're seeing happening in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our homes, because there's really no transformation taking place because there's an absence of the presence of the Lord. The only life that'll be transformed is a life that is experience the very presence, the very nature, the very love of Jesus Christ in a real encounter. The only thing that changes a life is the presence of Jesus Christ. It's his presence that produces a life of service unto the Lord. And without his presence, we can't achieve any personal victories or any personal growth in the Lord without his presence. But not only does his presence bring victory in our personal lives, but his presence also must be there if we're going to be successful in anything we do for the Lord, in any purpose that God calls us to. I've talked with a few this morning, and I was excited to hear some of the things that God has called you to do in this church and in this house. Well, let me let you know that none of that comes to pass. You won't be successful without his presence. I don't care how much makeup we put on it. I don't care how much paint we put on it. I don't care how many programs we put in place. Without the presence of Jesus, our efforts would be in vain. God has called and purposed each one of your lives with a special purpose and a special calling. He's called this church to make a difference in this community. But it only happened with his presence. God has called this church. He's called you to be a difference maker. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that this room is full of individuals, and this church as a whole is a place that will make a difference in Fort Payne. This place is a place that lives will be changed, transformed, that families will be brought back together. But it only happens in his presence. If lives are going to be changed, if families are going to be healed, if the addict is going to be set free, if people are going to find hope, it's going to only be in his presence. If we're going to win our children, if we're going to win our loved ones, if we're going to win those on the job or in the marketplace, it's going to be because of his presence. We need his presence to show up in our lives to win this world for Jesus. Folks, it don't happen without his presence. We need his presence to show up in everything that we're doing. They need to see Jesus. When we say that we're a Christian, it shouldn't be just in title alone. It should be because we have the very nature and character of Christ flowing through us, because that's the very thing that'll transform the bound. That's the very thing that brings healing into the lives of those that are hurting. It's the very thing that manifests deliverance on the lives of those that are bound. It's the presence of our Savior. It's not us. It's not our personality. It's not what we've gained through academics. It's not how many scriptures we know. It's about who we know from the scripture, and his name is Jesus. If Jesus isn't in our lives, there's no success in anything we do. We have to have his presence. We need his presence to show up in what we're doing. His presence makes all the difference. That's what our text shows us this morning. I know most of you are probably familiar with this story. It's after the resurrection, and Jesus had presented himself a few times to the disciples. But here now, for some reason, the disciples had gotten to a place, and Peter, number one, had decided, you know, I'm kind of just here. And I don't know what to do, and I'm trying to figure out how to live out this thing now that we've encountered Christ and we've seen the resurrected Savior. What do I do? And we find Peter making a decision to go fishing. And some others decided to go along with him. And they went fishing, and the Bible says that they fished all night, but they caught nothing. Before Jesus showed up, the disciples were doing things in their own effort, in their own strength. And I understand this way, that Peter actually went back to what was natural for him. And folks, whatever we do to win this world cannot come from the natural. It has to begin and have its origin in the supernatural. And we see Peter and the disciples, and they're fishing, but they're not catching anything. And I think it's a beautiful, wonderful picture being painted here of what happens when we do things without the Lord. It shows us, and it's pretty elementary, but you would think we would have it by now, but it's so many of us that operate day in and day out without his presence. So many things that are being done in the church and in the body of Christ without his presence, as if God is not real. And he needs us to come up with a plan. He needs us to have the ideas and the mind and the wisdom to go out and reach this world. Listen, the only one that can change this world is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll always be the only one that can make a difference. And when we look at this story and we look at these disciples and we just see the efforts of self-effort, we see what it brings about. It brings about nothing. It brings about no results. It brings about no success. They fished all night long, and they came up with nothing. Absolutely nothing. And this is sad to say, this is a picture of a lot of believers' lives and a lot of places that call themselves churches. Doing a whole bunch of stuff, but coming up empty. Got a whole lot of programs in place, but coming up empty. Got a lot of great ideas, but coming up empty. But I love this because it allows us to see our efforts without his presence. And that's nothing. It helps us to see that when you do it without Jesus, you have no success. That's clear here. But it goes on to help us, and these are some things I want us to take from this story. The first thing I notice is this. Whenever Jesus shows up, the story changes. And we've got to understand that, church. If the story's going to change, if things are going to turn around, if things are going to happen in Fort Payne, if the addict's going to get set free, if these things that we're seeing, this darkness that we're seeing, these things that we're hearing about, if it's going to change, then Jesus must show up. Because I love this story, because the moment Jesus appeared, the moment he manifested himself. We went from a story of defeat. We went from a story of nothing. We went from a place of trying to figure out what to do and how to do. We went from a dark place to a bright place. The Bible says that Jesus manifested himself. And when he manifested himself, I love this text because it helps me out a little bit here. It says that bright and early. Whenever Jesus comes on the scene, the story changes. I don't care what the plot is. I don't care what the storyline is. I don't care how addicted they are. I don't care how tore up the marriage is. I don't care how lost the child seems. I don't care how far in darkness they may be. When Jesus Christ shows up on the scene, the story has to change. His presence is so important. His presence brings about change. I can remember 32 years ago being addicted to heroin, shooting drugs in my vein, and my wife, 2 years or a year, 6 months actually, coming into a room and finding me overdosed on the floor without a heartbeat, without a pulse, and was not breathing. Marriage, just 6 months old. They covered me up in the back of the ambulance. Says he's gone. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, church, the story has to change. Whatever's dead has to come to life. Whatever's deemed broken has to be healed. Come on, somebody. Help me this morning. I know I'm not the only one in here that can testify that when Jesus showed up in your life, that life of defeat, that life of emptiness, that life of shame, that life of guilt, that life of not even wanting to get up in the morning, you know how you used to be. It wasn't your looks that changed things. It wasn't because you got something in the bank that changed something. It wasn't because you had a cutie that showed up. It was because Jesus Christ himself showed up in your life, and your life has never been the same. We need his presence, because when his presence shows up, the story has to change, church. There are people out there that are dying in misery and in pain, and all they're getting is our efforts. When we've got the living God living inside of us, when we've got the experience of a resurrected Christ, we've seen him. We know he's alive. They don't need us. They need a resurrected Jesus. The story has to change when he shows up. You have that here. You have everything you need. I thank God for the material things that God has given you. I thank God for the creativity that he's allowed you guys to have to be able to create this space. I know I'm not supposed to be envious, but I was envious when I walked in here. I was like, I want one of those. But I quickly had to remind myself, it's not all of this that's going to change those broken lives that walk through those doors. It's not all of this that's going to take that husband that's been beating on his wife, been drinking alcohol for years, that doesn't want to come to church, that comes one day and drops her off in the parking lot, but the truck breaks down and he finds himself walking in that door, and next thing you know, because of the presence of the Lord, he's at this altar saying, what must I do to be saved? Church, this is what God desires for this house. There are people on this mountain that need a story change. They need to move to another chapter, and you have the answer because you have Jesus. His presence changes the story. We have to have his presence. It changes the story. Not only does his presence change the story, you have to forgive me. I get riled up a little bit because I've seen the resurrected Savior and I know what he can do in a life. I know what he can do with a story of defeat. I know what he can do with a story of death. He can resurrect it. Not only does his presence produce a story change, but his presence also produces the miracle. All through the scriptures, we see Jesus walking, and wherever he went, there were miracles. Can I tell you something? He still performs miracles today. Jesus is still a miracle worker. He still does the impossible today. God said it this way. He says, with God, all things are, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Jesus is still a miracle worker. A lot of times what happens is we're doing things, we're fishing in our own strength, and we're catching nothing. But when we let the miracle worker in, when his presence shows up, his presence works miracles. His presence begins to make the impossible possible. If we're going to make a difference in this community, if we're going to change this area, we need some miracles to happen. We need his presence, church. His presence produces miracles. I've got a little bag that I've begun at my house. I call it the testimony bag. It's a little red duffel bag. Had no idea it would begin to be this testimony bag. But it's begun to become a testimony bag. We had a couple of situations. One situation, my wife and I, my wife has a best friend, and her son was arrested at the age of 16 for murder. And given life without parole. And he was been locked up how many years? 23 years, life without parole. Been praying for him, believing God, that God would get a hold of him. Lo and behold, early last year, we got a phone call. Don't know how, don't know why. Yes, we do, Jesus. He got a parole hearing, and he got paroled and got released. We shouted and we gave God glory and gave him praise. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we got a phone call, and my wife said, Leon, Sky is driving, and he's on his way to somewhere. And because I used to be in that life, I was like, well, did he talk to his parole officer? Is he okay? He's like, yeah, he's been given a 30-day pass. And this is a young man that's hardened. This is a young man that came home to a war zone, living in fear constantly and day in and day out. And when he came to our house, he pulled up and my wife walked outside. And I'm glad I can be in a place I can talk about guns with. That's what Jeff said, something about a gun, didn't you? But my wife said, she came in, she said, Leon, he got guns. And immediately my mind was, this young man is in trouble. He just received a miracle. For 23 years, he sat in that jail cell without any hope, without any glimpse of getting out. And now, because of the conditions of where he was living at when he got out, He has the need to have all these guns to protect himself. And I told my wife, I said, listen, he can't leave here with those guns. He can't. He's going back to jail. He's going back to the penitentiary. He can't. And I said, well, I'm just going to go to sleep and let God handle this in the morning. And I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I knew that that young man could not leave that house with those guns. And the next morning I got up. I was sitting on my couch and I was praying. I was like, God, what do I say? What do I have? How do I convince this young man that you've got him? He's got a new life. You've done a miracle for him. He doesn't need this. And he walked down the hallway and he sat on the couch. And I felt so inadequate because I said, Sky, why do you have the guns? He said, you don't understand. You're not in this world anymore. This life that you don't understand. I fear for my life every single second of the day. He said, before I came to your house, before I got in the car and got out of that city and left, there was a gentleman laying under my bed, and he was there to kill me. And the only reason I knew he was there, his cell phone fell out of his pocket, and I jumped up and ran at it out. You don't understand, Pastor Leon. I fear for my life. And I'm saying, God, what do I say? And all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord fell in the room. And the young man began to weep, and he began to cry, and he became broken. And he said these words. He said, I can't mess up this miracle God has given me. And he handed me that bag of guns. I never forget it. He said, well, can I go out here in the yard and just shoot off a few rounds? I said, no, we'll all go to jail. But the presence caused him in all that fear to give me that bag. And I love it because he was leaving, going to L.A. or somewhere. I don't know. He was going, and I had left out, and I was going out. And I saw him come flying back past, and I called my wife. I said, he's coming back. Don't give him the guns. And she said, no, he came back because he forgot. He had some other bullets or another gun, and he didn't want to leave with them either. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. 2 days ago, I get a phone call from a corporate guy that's dealing with some situations, and he felt like taking his life. And he said to me, the only way I don't take my life is I drink. I said, meet me at the church. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to say. And I pulled up, and he was sitting on the steps of the church. And I kid you not, there was a puddle of tears. This is a corporate guy, a businessman, at a very high level. Tears just draining down on the steps of our church. And he said, Pastor, I can't go back. And he hands me this bag of alcohol. He says, it's not that I can't go back. I won't go back. God is a miracle worker. And he handed me that alcohol. And I took it home and I put it in my testimony bag. God does miracles, church. But he does it in his presence. We did this on the step of the church. We didn't even have to go in the church. God has called this church to make a difference. God has called this church to make an impact. His presence changes the story. His presence brings about miracles. This was a miraculous catch of fish we see taking place in this story. If I was to read the story on, the Bible says that it was so many fish that they caught that they couldn't even get the net back in the boat. It was a miracle. Jesus is still working miracles. I got to hurry up. I want to finish here. Not only does his presence produce a change of story and miracles, but his presence produces his wisdom. These were fishermen by trade. Peter was a fisherman by trade. He was an experienced fisherman. But Peter, as much experience as he had, he didn't know what side of the boat to throw the net on. Jesus, the presence comes in and says, throw it on the other side. And they become successful. Church, I want you to know that we have to have the wisdom of God to penetrate this darkness in this hour. We must have the wisdom of God. We must know when to do, how to do, and where to do. And his presence ensures that. When we have the presence of the Lord, we have his wisdom. When we have the presence of the Lord, we have his revelation. The Bible says that the disciples didn't know who he was when he first showed up. And then all of a sudden, John, and he describes himself this way, self-description. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he described himself that way. He says, that's Jesus. That allows me to understand that not only does his presence produce wisdom, but his presence produces revelation. If we're going to make a difference, if we're going to make an impact, if we're going to change, if we're going to be a part of the change that God wants to bring to this area, to your homes, to your lives, to those around you, if you're going to be difference makers, if you're going to be influencers, that's what the social media people call it, influencers. They're still in God's stuff, y'all. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the influencers. Matter of fact, I haven't done this yet. Let's do this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are an influencer for Jesus. Amen. But we have to have his wisdom, but we also have to have his revelation. God's waiting to pour out new revelation for these times on his sons and daughters, but we have to be in position to do that. We have to have his presence. The presence is important because it changes the story. The presence is important because it brings about miracles. The presence is important because it brings about God's wisdom and it brings about his revelation. This passage shows us how important it is. They went from no fish to too many fish to bring in. God changes the story. He produces miracles. He brings about his wisdom. He brings about his revelation. I want to end with this, with some practical things, because I know that we've been conditioned to think, and I'm not knocking this, I'm not coming against this in any way, because God does show up in a powerful way in worship. I mean, I've felt the presence of the Lord, and I've been in the presence of the Lord in times of worship where I couldn't get up for 2 or 3 hours. But God has a way of doing things that's not in a box all the time. And that presence sometimes is not only found by us being at this altar and laid out before God and seeking his presence. That's not always how his presence comes. Sometimes the simple, practical way of having the presence of God is allowing him to work in your life. See, the scriptures teach us that we were saved to be created in his image. Whether you believe this or not, you didn't come Jesus Christ ready. We have to be created in his image. And when your life begins to look like his son, then wherever you go, guess who shows up? His son. But that takes a life that says, God, whatever you need to change in me, change in me. Whatever strongholds, whatever thought patterns, whatever needs to be torn down, God, take it away. It calls for a life that says, God, whatever needs to be healed, I'm ready to be healed. Wherever I'm broken at, God, I need to be fixed and I need to be healed. It's a life that says, God, it hurt, but I'm ready to forgive. See, a life that houses the presence of the Lord is a life that has allowed itself to be created in the image of his son. And that's a work that must be given a yes to when it comes to God working in your life. I wish we could show up automatically after the day of salvation and look like Jesus, but that's not how it happens. There's a sanctifying work that must take place in our lives. We must give God access to those places in our lives where we shut him out. We must give God access to those opinions and those thoughts and those mindsets that don't show up in the fruit of the Spirit like it should. We must give God access to those hurt places where things have happened to us and it's caused a place of bitterness, a place of anger, a place of frustration. And no matter what, every time we show up, even though we're there, all of our efforts, instead of showing Jesus, it shows our pain, it shows our hurt, it shows our bad experiences. Folks, people don't need to see you, they need to see Jesus. So what allows his presence, Pastor Leon? It's a life that says, God, I'm yours, change me. Change me. Do a work in my life. Not only is it a life that's willing to be changed, but there are a couple of other things that attract God's presence. And I promise you, I'm about to land the plane. A changed life creates a place for the image of Jesus to be. But there are a couple of other things I need you to know that attract the presence of the Lord. Number one is love. A life lived that is a life that's filled with the love of God. When God sees his love, he shows up. And folks, all of this, everything that we are putting our hands to should send one simple message, and that is that God loves you. Whoever we're trying to reach, whatever we're trying to do, at the end of the day, the message is God loves you and he wants to spend eternity with you. The only way that happens is when people decide to live a life of God's love. God is attracted to people that live in his love, an agape love, an unconditional love, not a love that's bathed in our limitations. I love you, but I don't like you. How can you do that? A life that's lived in love. A life that's yielded to his spirit. What attracts the presence of the Lord, Pastor Leon? A life lived in love. A life yielded to his spirit. A life bathed in prayer. And lastly, a life obedient to his word. When you have, as a congregation, when you as an individual make a decision, God changed me. When you make that conscious decision, God changed me. Create your son in me. Create his image in my life. No matter what you have to do, God, I'm willing for you to change me. When you have a heart that says that, when you have a group of people that's willing to live God's love, when you have a group of people that's willing to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? We'll yield it to you. When you have a group of people that's willing to come together in prayer, I love that my brother said, prayer on good, is it Good Friday or when are we praying? We got a prayer meeting coming up, right? April 1st. That's not April Fool's, as he said. Prayer. We've seen revival break out in our church simply because of prayer. We're experiencing a move of God like never before because of prayer. Folks, when God sees, because prayer says this to God, we need you. Come on, somebody. Prayer says, God, we need you. And when God hears we need you, he shows up. Nothing repels the presence of the Lord like someone that doesn't need to pray. I got this. Will you make prayer first, church? In a life that's obedient. The Bible says that Jesus is the word. And when you're obedient to his word and you walk in his word and you live in his word and you build your life on his word, then you build your life on him and he's there. There's no doubt in my mind that this church is called and set apart to make a difference in this city, in this region, not just this city, but in this region. There'll be countless people that their lives will be, their story change will be connected to Fort Payne. Well, Fort Payne. There'll be countless people that their miracle will be connected to the well of Fort Payne. There'll be countless people that will be the beneficiaries of the wisdom of God in situations, whether they're on the job, in the marketplace, or in homes. There'll be countless people that'll be brought out of darkness because they have the revelation. The well, Fort Payne, has brought about the revelation of God into their situations. But for that to happen, we've got to have his presence. And to have his presence, we've got to say, God, change me. To have his presence, we've got to live a life of love. To have his presence, we've got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. To have his presence, we've got to be willing to be dependent on God in prayer, to have his presence, we have to walk in obedience to his word. There's no doubt in my mind that this church is going to be an amazing place where God's presence abides and resides. There's no doubt in my mind that you will make an impact and a difference in this city. My question is, are you willing to be a part of that in a way where you surrender to God and say, God, my life is your life. I want to live in your love. I want to be yielded to your spirit. I want to walk in obedience to your word. I want to be dependent in prayer. I want to be that person. If you can, just stand with me right quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself or wondered, why am I here now, God? Why did you choose for me to be born in this space and time with all of this stuff going on? Have you ever humbly asked yourself, and I'm not making light of anyone's death, why in those two to three years of COVID, I didn't have a coffin? Maybe it's because he's got something for you to do. He's got some lives for you to impact. He has some miracles for you to be a part of. He's got some wisdom that you're supposed to bring to some situations. He's got some revelation that he wants to impart in you that'll make a difference in somebody else's life. I believe that's why. I believe that's why, because he wants to be with you in eternity so bad he could just take you and have you there, but he's left you here with a purpose. Like these guys that were fishing, that purpose can't be fulfilled without his presence. At the end of this story, they actually sit around and have a hot fish breakfast. That's all he wants to do, is be in communion and fellowship with your life. He saved you to be with you. He saved you to live through you. He saved you to use your life. The story says that when they pulled the nets in, that it was a big haul, but the net didn't tear. And none of the fish fell out. He purposely said that. When you have his presence, everything you catch will stay. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Maybe we're losing some of what we're losing because we're missing his presence. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I bless you for this house. I bless you for Pastor Spencer and Pastor Madison and that vision and that place that you've carved out in their hearts to come to this place, this city of Fort Payne, not just to set up camp, not just to do church, but to bring the very presence of the living God. Thank you, God, for the obedience. But you've tapped each person in this room on the shoulder. And you've given them a like heart. You've given them a like mind. And in some of their quiet places, they've asked, how is it going to happen? What do I need to do? Are we successful? Are we not? And today you answer that for them. You said, just get my presence. Just get my presence. Give me your life and let me change you. Start living in my love. Start yielding to my spirit. Start depending on me greater in prayer. Walk in total obedience to my word, and I'll promise you my presence. Today I pray over you. I pray over this house. I pray that God would begin a new and a fresh move in your hearts. I pray that those that need to surrender their hearts to Jesus in a new and fresh way and say, Lord, here, take me. Take my life. It's yours. I pray for that one that has been hurt so bad that it's hard for them to walk in the love of God. I pray for healing for them. I pray for mending of their hearts, Lord, so that they can walk in your love. I pray for that one, God, this morning that's struggling to give into the Holy Spirit. What you're telling them, Holy Spirit, doesn't match with their money. It doesn't match with their level of influence. It doesn't match with their level of education. It doesn't match. But Holy Spirit, you're saying to do. God, I pray today that they would come in step with the Holy Spirit this moment, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for a fresh new obedience to your word for each life. And God, we thank you now for the presence that'll be poured out because of that. We thank you for the stories that'll be changed. We thank you for the miracles that'll be manifested. We thank you for the wisdom that'll come down. We thank you for the revelation that'll shine bright from this place, from this house, from this well, because of your presence, Lord. We love you and praise you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Let everyone say amen.